All right, welcome to this very special episode of Podcast Ed. We are here with a civil rights icon, a education choice leader for many decades, Virginia Walden Ford. Virginia, thank you so much for joining us today. How are you?
I am fine. Thank you for having me.
The story sort of starts in D.C., raising your three children, and specifically one of your sons. So talk about the challenges of what you saw raising three kids in Washington, D.C. in the 1990s, both inside and outside of the school environment.
Well, you know, I was a single mother. I was divorced young. Mm. And so it was me and the kids. And the schools for my older kids were changing somewhat, but both of them, my oldest son is Michael, my daughter is Maisha, but they're both really academically driven. And I'm not going to say gifted, but certainly driven. They liked learning, and so even with challenges faced at the schools that they attended, they found their way. They found people, role models. They found people that could help them. We found programs that they could participate in that really, Michael was into math and science, Maisha was a writer, and so they found ways to be successful in education. But I saw changes occurring with Maisha when she was in school. I started seeing things at the schools that were worrisome to me. But again, she managed to get through successfully. Well, our neighborhood also changed. We lived in a community that had many issues. Certainly one of the issues that we faced was drugs and gangs. And so over time, I started seeing my youngest son, who was smart but had decided at some point that maybe he wouldn't act so smart. He didn't want to be perceived as one of the smart kids. Mm-hmm. But I also saw the gang interaction and the drug dealing in our community start to affect the children in our community, because it was a community of single mothers with lots of children. And we did the best we could. I mean, we bought the children what they needed, oftentimes not what they wanted. And so, but, you know, drug dealers and gangs, that's how they feed on kids in inner cities or in areas where there are those kind of activities. They feed on those kids, and they say to them, your mama can't buy, but we can. Mm-hmm. So we're going to be your family. And a lot of kids get pulled into the streets that way. You know, they give them shoes, they give them money, they give them things that their mothers or parents can't buy them. And I started seeing William get pulled into the streets, which frankly scared me to death. It was like, I am not losing my child to the streets of D.C. Mm-hmm. And I started trying to be more interactive with him at school, but see, the school already gave up on him. They already dismissed him. They already said, this is not a child that is going to succeed. And I saw that, and he saw that. And he felt that they didn't care about him, and, you know, they didn't care what he learned. The only person that cared what he learned was me. And so he and I, you know, were at odds over his behavior. So it put him in a place where nobody cared, not even me, in his 13-year-old mind. Mm-hmm. And so for a couple of years, we really struggled with that. And then a little different from the movie, we did get a partial scholarship for him to go to a private school. And like the movie, I had to get part-time jobs and be able to pay my portion. So, and that's kind of how what got me started in all of this.
Yeah.
You know, I was struggling, working three jobs, trying to pay the tuition, and I was not successful. I mean, I had to keep a roof over our heads and pay this tuition, and that money just seemed so big for me. And I thought, you know, there's got to be a better way for kids to get into schools that serve them better.
Yeah.
And right at that time, I heard about some activity in Congress that would provide scholarships for low-income kids in D.C.
So talk about that a little bit. So that leads to you forming D.C. Parents for School Choice and getting involved in enacting the Opportunity Scholarship Program in D.C., correct? So what was that experience
and
what was becoming an educational advocate, not just for William, but for all of, for thousands of D.C.'s kids? Like, what was that experience like?
It was quite exciting and hard for me because I was one of behind-the-scenes parents. I did not like being out in public. And I remember the first time that they asked me to tell my story about William and how, even as tough as it was, he was thriving in the school. And I was just a nervous wreck. But what I realized at that moment is that somebody had to tell his story.
Right.
And somebody had to be the voice for thousands of children, not just in D.C., but around the country. And that really affected me. And even with my nervousness, and nobody ever believes this, David, but I was really shy.
No,
and,
I have trouble believing that, Miss Virginia.
I know. Most people do. But when I look back on it and I think about it, I think, nowhere would I have ever thought that I would have become a spokesperson for parents or even put in a leadership role or any of this. And so, and I still get a little nervous when I'm speaking, but the words come because it's important for them to come. And the words come because there are thousands of children around this country that are not in schools that benefit them in the best way. And the words come because there are parents that need to know that I'm going to speak and they're going to speak as well. Mm. So the words come. And no matter how nervous you are or how nervous I am, I look at the faces of the parents, and this is what we did the entire legislative fight. I would look in the faces of those parents and I would say, if I act nervous or if I'm not strong, then they'll be anxious. Mm-hmm. And I didn't want that to happen. So we fought, and it was a fight. It was a battle. I mean, the opposition was certainly way meaner than I expected, but the supporters were much nicer than we could have dreamed of. And so this, period in my life has been an incredible journey.
Yeah.
For me, for the parents that I stood side by side with, and for the children they benefited from. Mm.
And it's all being memorialized in the movie Miss Virginia, appropriately named. So my last question is, what is it like to literally have a movie made about your life, about a piece of your life? And what is that experience? It must be surreal. Talk about your emotions of what that's like and sort of becoming you've always been an advocate, but now you're literally the poster person for this movement. So talk about that a little bit.
Well, initially it was just scary, just the whole idea of somebody putting my life in that place where people would see me, I mean, it was always easier for me to push the parents up front and I'll just kind of leave from the back. But so I had to really, I had to really deal with that. So I think the very first time I saw the movie, it totally freaked me out. it was like, this is just way too weird for me. And of course I saw it before others saw it. And it is surreal. It's surreal, but it's wonderful, and it's important, and it's a way to inspire parents, and it's a way to show them that if I can do something like that, mm-hmm. and help lead an effort or organize parents or get parents excited about something or teach parents how to use their voices, if I can do it, they can certainly do it. And that's the thing that excites me about the movie. Sometimes I'll be looking at her, I go, why did she say that? And I go, oops, that was me. And so it's been kind of fun, but surreal, but so important that it's just changed my life, you know. And my son told me the other day that it has become his favorite movie. He says, "Ma, I'm talking to Miss Virginia, and I'm looking at Miss Virginia." And I was like, okay. I mean, he's so, my kids are proud that the story, you know, has gotten to this point where other people will see what their parents every day. And that's what I love about it. It honors parents, and parents should be honored. Their parents, there were parents like me every day around this country fighting for their children.
Wonderful.
And that's what I think is beautiful about the film.
It's beautifully said. And the good news is we're bringing you to Florida this week. Three screenings of the movie. Two of them are sold out in Jacksonville and Orlando, but you can still join us in Tampa on Tuesday, December 10th at the historic, beautiful Tampa Theater. Doors open at 6:00 and film begins at 7:00 with an interview with Miss Virginia herself. Following the conclusion of the screening. That's you. So we're looking forward to bringing you to Florida this week. And thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us, to talk about a little bit about your journey. And we can't wait to hear even more this week. So thank you, Miss Virginia.
Well, thank you. And I look forward to seeing everybody out to see the film, and love to have a little chat with you.
And to anyone who can't attend the Tampa screening, you can still, I believe, there's many ways to watch Miss Virginia. I'm assuming video on demand. And so you can catch it just in all of those places as well. So check it out. It's a wonderful film. Thanks again, Miss Virginia.
You're welcome.
All right. Bye-bye.